great morning. Great morning. Grand rising.
Thursday.
Hello, hello. How are we?
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
Hey, y'all.
How are we?
It's a dreary Portland morning. Dreary Portland Thursday. You know?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I would like it to warm up a little bit.
I was going to say, you have not been sounding okay with it.
I'm trying not to be one of those annoying transplants. Oh, you know?
Oh, the rain.
Despite having to do things in the outside today.
Yeah.
You know? Like, hey, man. You know what it is. Our spring's on the way.
That's how it goes down. I just got confused. I was like, is it April? Yeah.
And we know what's coming in April. Shower.
Snow.
Snow. Yes. April snow.
Fiancés, how are you this morning?
Morning, y'all.
What y'all up to?
What is y'all doing?
What is y'all doing? What's up with your personal business?
Hey.
Ooh, good morning, AJ. How are you this fine Thursday?
Man, you got a text that quick?
Yeah, you see it? You don't see it?
No, it didn't pop up on my side yet.
Look at me. Look at you. The scoop. Yeah, I'm on it.
There it is.
Okay, well, good morning.
Well, go on.
What I saw this morning was a clip from yesterday, I believe, maybe a couple of days ago, of one richest man in the world on Fox News saying, I don't know what's going on. People, I thought that the left was the party of empathy. I thought the Democrats were like caring and kind. And here they are firebombing my Tesla dealerships and shooting into it. And I don't know what's going on. Tesla's just a car company. We just make electric cars. It's nice to everybody. I've never done anything harmful. I've only ever done anything productive.
Aww. Did someone pinch his cheeks? someone rub his nose. Oh,
fam,
little Elon.
If he don't get his 15th face out of mine, I am tired of this man being on TV. You do not get to be the richest person in the world and be on TV talking about I ain't never hurt nobody.
Fam, you cried to your Uncle Trump and got him to do a summer savings car sale on the front lawn of the White House. And now you're on Fox News saying, I don't understand why no one likes me.
It was interesting that he was like absolving himself of anything. Like, well, I've never done anything harmful. I've only done anything productive. I don't even know what he means.
About productivity on his
Well, part. I know what he means by about productivity.
I don't know what he means.
Oh, you know. He's a producer.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Not just jobs, not just economic hardships for other people, but, you know, a bunch of children.
Right,
and
right.
Leaving a bunch of scattering his seed around the globe.
That's scattering his seed.
I mean, literally. I want to know what the other kids... Like the, and their moms be looking like, so this 4-year old, you're just taking this 4-year old everywhere.
This human shield,
which DHS obviously need to come and get. Like you got,
bruh.
That little boy gonna run under a jet engine, you know? Like,
Michelle said, good morning and happy equinox.
Ooh.
And new astrological year to the coven.
Good morning.
AJ say, haha, I'm glad y'all are about to have us laughing through the shock.
Listen.
AJ, survival, the new American dream.
Let's make that board game.
Okay.
I don't know what the new American dream would be. Socialism! It teaches socialism.
Oh. So how did the Fox commentator or interviewer respond?
Well, his name is Sean Hannity. So it went real well. Sean was like, you know, buddy, I just honestly, I can't believe that anybody would think that you're not the best person in the world. You know, obviously you've done amazing things. Like, you just helped save those astronauts that have been stuck in space for 286 days and they were only supposed to be there for 8. So someone should give you credit for that. Dude. You know? Yeah.
He.
I want to know if they were his astronauts. Are these?
They weren't.
Was this Starling? Oh.
No. They weren't his astronauts. I remember. I feel like we talked about them like four or five months ago. And it was like they just stuck up there because they missed their window. What's happening now? What are y'all doing? What's going on?
I wish I remembered. I don't.
Yeah. It's just like, what's happening?
I'm also not going to look into it in this very moment. All I know is it's his fault. Okay? Whatever is happening, it is his fault, actually. Especially if he is a person who thinks that he hasn't harmed anyone and has never done that. As if, you know, becoming a billionaire in the first place isn't harm.
Right.
And as if Doge running around about to ruin everything that has ever, the little teeny tiny slivers of safety nets of capitalism that we have aren't just being destroyed. Like, I really don't think it's hitting enough people how big of a deal this is. Like I was saying to you yesterday, both of my parents receive Social Security. Mm-hmm. My dad also receives retirement from a school district. If Social Security went away, or they don't receive their money on time, or they lower the payments, they're destitute.
Instantly.
There is no, oh, well, we got a couple of months to figure. Instantly.
Yeah.
And it's literal penny. Half pennies to a person like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
What's that called? A hay penny?
Hay penny.
It's dust in comparison to what this person loses on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And they're like, waste, fraud, and abuse is happening at the point of the beneficiary not understanding anything. Like, there's just this incredible ability to be 1000% misinformed or uninformed and feel confident that you have just figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, there's 11-year-olds getting Social Security payments. Fraud. That 11-year-old doesn't have a parent.
And that Social Security payment could be due to a disability.
Literally.
They could be getting disability based on their parent's disability. Like,
it's completely ludicrous to allow full-blown laymen who do not understand what the system is and don't understand what it is, what it does, any of the functions of it, outside of money going out. That's the only function they understand. It's completely ludicrous that we are living through this moment right now.
Yeah.
When none of this is new. And like we were talking, we'll get to the clean water thing, uh-huh. But the protections that are in place are because they weren't there at one point.
Right.
No, right. Social Security was not a part of the founding of the country.
Neither was the internet. But you want to get rid of that, too?
Probably.
It wasn't what the founding fathers, like, what you said about 45 seconds ago, about people not having an understanding of these systems, right?
Yeah.
What's even worse, it's like people don't understand not just these specific systems and how they work, but like what a system is, like the pure definition
right.
of a system.
Right.
And systemic.
They're just like, that means there's a plan or something. Or, I don't even know what they think it means.
Yeah. What's
this system do? Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm big, big angry right now at a lot. And seeing him on any TV. It doesn't matter if it's a softball. Everything's a softball interview. Everything's a, right. you know, like anytime he's, I don't care if he has a chainsaw or he's sitting there crying.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I am each time as equally, I start at the point of irate.
Yeah.
And it goes from there.
I wonder who made that call. You know, was it his people? Was it Trump's people? Did Fox reach out to him? Hey, we need to get out there. Need to get some messaging out to the people.
What's really funny is that
platform X isn't working as well as I'd like it to. Can I come on you guys' show? And who you got?
What's really funny is he's on there saying that there's like obviously mental health. There's a problem. Like, you know, people's mental health is gone, and that's why they're firebombing Tesla dealerships or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, not even, I don't know, 30 seconds later is like, and you know, is it, it feels coordinated. Like, who's funding this? Is this a coordinated effort funded by Soros, or are the people mentally ill? Just cover it all. Just say it all and see whatever, which one sticks for whoever hears it, I guess.
I wish Soros would fund us.
Hello.
We're down for the funding.
Are we?
Solely down.
Are we?
Soros, bring it to our Monday nights.
Bring it to my everyday. Coordinated effort means.
Bring it to my Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
I'll take care of the weekends.
No, that's not what I said. I don't need an interpreter. I said every day. What days off from getting money do they get? None. There's no days off. And they don't even do anything. I've had it.
Yeah, understandably so.
Michelle, what do I need to do to be happy in the equinox? You know, like, I need to, what do I need to do?
You gotta watch out. Michelle's a wily one. She'll tell you to start the OnlyFans.
Wow! Hold on. Okay. Michelle would not tell me that.
She definitely told us that on Monday.
No, she said save that kind of content for that. But we, right? Yeah, I was there.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was there.
I remember now. Yeah. 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 I don't know. I'm struggling to, like, it all feels very.
They got this thing mastered, this whole victim thing.
Boy,
because isn't this like a clear sign of weakness that you're on Fox and you're whining about how, you know, they're coming after your dealerships and, oh my God, they're bombing cars. And then you're crying in the White House. Like, you're showing nothing but weakness at every turn.
I hard agree. I just don't think that when it is the richest man in the world, the people who care or believe that to mean smart and status. And I don't think they see him being
weak in these moments.
Weak. I think they see him, you know, making his plea. I don't know.
He's trying to reason with people, you know? He's just trying to reason. I saw somewhere Steve Bannon. Oh, it was on Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo's show.
Cool.
Talking about he thinks that Trump could win the third term. He was like, I think he'd win it. He said, you know, we're working on that. We're working on making that happen.
Well, Steve Bannon, no shade to you giving that info, but okay, thank you for saying the thing you've been saying since 2016, I guess, again. Okay. Fair. Steve Bannon been talking about, we don't need a different president after we get Trump in.
We got everything we need, guys.
Like, I just... Breaking news. Michelle said, slander. I told you to save the shirt taking off for the news with my OnlyFans to protect the purity of the Monday Night Raw fiance.
Maybe. We got to roll the tape.
See? No, we don't.
I love that Michelle gave it with slander first.
Yep. Someone's been watching you on Monday night.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's the best text. We need to like...
Yeah. Slander.
Yep.
No, you're right. Steve has been saying this for forever.
Yeah. The Bannon been about this life. He's been... I mean, we are living right now through a thing he's been working on for 30 years. Mans is reveling.
We're in his timeline.
We are in... It has come to all that flying around the world looking for right-wing authoritarian leaders. All that going, let's have another meeting. Let's do this. Don't you hate those Browns?
Wow. You just drew a connection for me. Bannon is he who remains.
Okay.
He's like, this is just a loop, guys.
Yeah.
This I'll is just, you know. We're going to end up right back here.
We'll Don't worry right about it. We'll be right back here. Don't you worry about it, brother.
Oh, no.
It's bad news bears. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no... Now, to be clear, I definitely have these moments where I just feel like this is never ending and we won't be able to do anything about it. I do think we can do things about it. I do think there is... reason to hope, you know, but we can't hope about anything if we are not about to act on it all, and we have to act. Like, this is not the time for hiding.
Yeah.
You know what is encouraging, I'll tell you this, is seeing all of these like super rural very red areas at town halls talking about tax the rich. It's feeling real nice.
That
feeling real good.
That was wild. I was like, they're chanting what?
Because I think we can really start to gain solidarity when people understand that tax the rich is not about your doctor.
No.
It's not about your lawyer.
No. But do you feel like Trump is trying to muddy those waters in the way that, okay, so they're talking about introducing policy that would eliminate taxes for anyone making less than $150,000. Now you've put like the doctors in the crosshairs, right? You've put these small business, medium-sized business, these professionals in the crosshairs. It's like you're sacrificing one for the other. Don't worry about it. I know you're telling us to tax the rich. Don't worry about it. We'll eliminate your taxes, you know, because you make under $150, but the rest of them. And at the same time, you're still not taxing the rich.
Look, that sounds like a tactic to me to make people that are not currently destitute, to make them destitute.
Yep.
And to continue dividing. So if you are a person who makes $161,000 a year, if you live in San Francisco, you're poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now all of a sudden you're going to have to pay the taxes of the people that don't pay. Please.
Yeah.
They do. These folks do not. Well, number one, they do understand how taxes work. I got to stop acting like they don't get it. Mm. They absolutely do. The entire point is to make us all poor. Everyone, every single person underneath that particular millionaire tax bracket.
Right.
Hey, we need labor, and we need to not have to pay you a lot. And we actually don't care if you die because we dump our chemicals into the water in your backyard.
Yikes! Segway queen.
Like, we are in a. These are the same people who have always wanted to dump the chemical.
Always.
These are always. They've always wanted to. Cut a little time off of that food inspection to make sure that what's a little rat poop?
Burying drums filled with chemicals in the backyards of communities.
The backyard. And then being like, we should develop this city. And then they put apartment buildings on top of the barrels of cancer that they put into the ground.
I love the ones when they do the chemical burying, and then they close the plant and move.
Well, that's just smart.
Those are my faves. Those are the bestest
ones. That's just smart. I mean, honestly, do I want to be around here?
Come on.
Nah.
No, man. Those are toxic. We got to get away.
Everybody who works here wears a hazmat suit from 4 miles away.
Hello.
We don't.
And they, you know, they've been getting some cancer. So don't tell the neighbors. Pack it up and move.
And we're out.
You mentioned the whole clean water thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's been a Supreme Court decision that has adjusted the understanding and regulations around the Clean Water Act.
What does it mean? You know, what does clean mean when it comes to water?
Well, I can tell you right now, there is no longer a requirement that clean water actually be clean water. And this has been, this new information, this new decision, highest court in the land.
The extreme court.
The extreme court.
The supreme extreme.
Yeah.
Just told us that we don't really need. What is clean? What I'm sorry. This is probably not great to listen to. What are they talking about?
What are they talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
Fiancés, did you happen to see anything about this Supreme Court decision? This 5-4 decision? I think it was 5-4.
It's 5-4. It was 5-4. It was 5-4.
Yeah. This 5-4 decision that, I mean, water doesn't, the Clean Water Act doesn't explicitly say that the water has to be clean.
It's right there in the name, babe. The water just has to act clean. Okay? It's right there in the name. It always has been there.
That's what act means when it's got it, got it, got it. No, what? Significantly limiting the EPA makes absolutely zero sense. Absolutely zero sense.
Especially when.
With the exception of for industry.
Especially when they're going to dismantle the EPA anyway.
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
So
you got to start taking. Right? Yeah, you got. Well, they're working.
Yeah. Okay. Hard at work.
I don't know what you're. What do you mean? You mean to tell me that you don't see results? Doge out here killing it.
How dare you? How dare you, madam?
I mean, honestly, he should be on TV talking about. Look what we just shut down. Like, tell us more.
Yeah.
But he won't even go to a congressional hearing. Fam won't even come. Come in with your jeans and your blazer. I don't care what you wear. But sit down. Also, I don't think that him going there matters at all. So,
no.
But to be just, clear, he's going to sit there and lie just like if he was sitting at a Fox interview or a CNN interview. It doesn't matter who he's talking to. Just like Trump, he's just going to lie. Just like anybody in that administration. Just like anybody who's trying to, you know, further this cause. They will just sit there and lie. And the way that people are able to like force us to do the culture war stuff while they're doing this stuff over here. What does significantly impacting our ability to have clean air and water do with the traditional family or whatever it is that they're telling us that we've lost, and the and I guess this water currently that we have makes frogs gay, and then the water we're about to get will make them what, people?
Yeah. This water is liberal water. Okay.
Dude, I'm sorry. I don't know why it's liberal water.
You gotta chill out. This is deep state water. We need to get it out of here.
This is what stewardship of a country looks like under complete and total idiocracy. Which I hope, if you have listened to this before, you understand includes every single one of the systems of oppression that we live under. But then when you get to put people at the helm who only care about how they can enrich themselves in their time on this planet, While there's, you know, I don't know how many of the handful of billionaires are also currently trying to find a vampire to become immortal.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing with their time.
Blood transfusions of the youth. You already knew that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that one dude who's like transferring blood with his son and his dad, and the three of them are just taking each other's blood. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Real talk. My bad. It's actually happening, guys. Real life. Real life things.
Like it.
But.
Yeah. Sorry.
I, you know, you laid a lot out just now. And in the interest of, you know, resolving and offering solutions, I want to throw something else out there. I want to remind you
that AJ, will you come help me?
Do have people working on pushing back. I want Chuck Schumer.
Thank y'all for coming out. God bless you. Good night. I'm about to turn. What?
Morgan, don't close your laptop. We're not done.
I'm literally closing my laptop and I'm going to turn your mic off.
I prefer that you did not do that. Okay.
Chuck Schumer can ambush?
FCC, watch your mouth.
Okay. I'm literally biting my lip.
He's got Hakeem Jeffries in a tiff.
Oh, wait. He made, why?
So.
Aren't they aligned?
Everyone's starting to turn on Chuck. Nancy's turned on Chuck. Hakeem's turned on Chuck. They're talking about, you know, a need for new leadership over there. Yeah.
Will it be Hakeem Jeffries? Because then we, guys, they could publicly say out loud that they don't like Chuck, but they do Chuck.
Yeah.
They are Chuck Schumer politics.
Facts. Whether Chuck's doing them right. Or not. Yeah. Yeah.
I did see Chuck. I saw a clip of him on The View.
Ah, yeah. Political View.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still very much struggling with that as well.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, gross.
Well, the thing is that they've been considered like you got to stop there.
Yeah.
If you're doing anything, right? Yeah. If you're.
They had the Breakfast Club for brunch, Mom.
No. It really bothers me that that's the case. I don't know how it happened. And very much because. They went the route of like, we're all just normal people here. We're all just regular people. And, you know, we read the paper in the morning and look at these headlines. This is crazy.
Yeah.
There's got to be a responsibility to act like you know something. And I understand that they have brought on people. You know, Sunny's been there for a long time. She's a lawyer. She's, you know, there's certain things that she will say that I'm appreciative of. But even in her being able to give her perspective and use her experience and knowledge in moments to explain a different perspective or explain something that, you know, oh, you thought that was legal, but it's not, whatever.
Right.
It's still very much like, oh, Sunny.
Yeah.
Oh, that radical.
God bless you.
You know?
Political View. Chuck on there.
Chuck on there saying, I did the best that I could do. And Sunny saying, respectfully, we're friends, which that's gross. We're friends, you know, so respectfully, I think you caved. And I think you shouldn't have done that. And he was like, cool story, bro. I absolutely didn't. What I did was save democracy.
Yeah.
And lesser, America.
Lesser of two evils.
Because, you know, if... do I lose a finger or do I lose my arm? Which one do I want to do here? Like, the trap door should open every time any politician or pundit says those dumb things.
He really thought he ate with that, too.
Full plate.
Especially when the crowd started clapping. Did y'all,
to be honest, there's an applause.
That's what, like, y'all turn, you know, the applause on for him.
Yeah.
Like,
come on. To be fair. Oh, man. We got texts. Good morning, P-Town. P-Town said, fantastic rising fiancés. Let's not act like we didn't already know to not go for a swim in the nasty. Well, you're right about that.
Mm.
The EPA and the DEQ use the phrase safe for human consumption. Yikes.
What does that even mean?
Well, you won't die immediately.
Oh.
Now the water is going to be like, excuse me, these dastardly, can you say that word? Bastards?
Yeah. Can you say that? Yeah, okay. You can say that. Say that. Michelle said, I'm starting to think that they won the most by making half of the U.S. think that owning the libs is a policy outcome.
Bruh.
And then they're surprised when they realize they're actually impacted by these things, too. And she said, the sound I made when you said Chuck Schumer.
Make that man go away again.
Desired effect. Desired effect.
Pete Towns said, boil the water that you want to consume.
Great. We're back to that. Fighting dysentery on the old Oregon Trail.
The fact that I got a homestead, but I live.
Right, but I'm paying rent. Whoa. And I'm paying rent and got neighbors.
Living next to a freeway. This really don't track.
Give me a straw hat. Let's get it going.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm going to be out here. I need what's my guy's name?
Marty.
Yeah. Give me a tuxedo shirt.
Oh, boy.
Huh? You're out here like Marty.
Okay. I'm going to tell y'all what we're going to talk about today. And then, oh, wait. Did you want to say anything at all about Yadolph?
You know what? This is what I'll say about Kanye right now.
He doesn't go by that name anymore.
That's why I call him by it.
Oh, okay.
Do what I want. Because obviously he gets to.
Okay.
I've watched. That pause was me thinking specifically about that. Because Mark Lamont Hill, he corrects himself all the time. And he was recently, he said, I got, you know, he goes by Ye. This is what the man, you know, is calling himself. And I want to respect him. I don't respect him. I call him Thomas. I don't care.
I like Thomas.
I don't care.
Let's call him Thomas West.
He's about to release another project. As a result of that, we're all being subjected to a series of tweets that are disgusting, that are malicious, that are harmful, that need to just be ignored. His drug is attention. It needs to be ignored. Everything that we're saying about Kanye today, we've been saying about Kanye for the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
He needs help. He's going through mental health issues. He needs help. And then y'all go and listen to the new album. And y'all go buy tickets to the concert. Hey, protect your peace. Like, really, protect your peace. I'm starting to see commentators and media contributors say, like, that the things that they're seeing, the trajectory that they're seeing now from Kanye is starting to give them, they're fearful for what he might do. Just for the sake of
like attention. To harm himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? There's definitely some credence to that. We don't know what's going on in this person's head. I'm just saying, I have made a decision not to want to be informed, concerned, or distracted by the choices that he makes. We all need to do whatever we need to do. Pretend as if he's the annoying cousin that when the call comes through or the text comes through, it's like, and you look around to see if they're possibly calling you.
They're watching you. Watching you.
Yeah.
Not answer your phone.
Like, stop. Let's not.
P-Town said, I want to point out that Kanye is mentally decommissioned. He is also a dastardly bastard with a dash of despicable. Slug of a human being to talk smack about someone else's children at that level is just, we don't want words for it.
Yeah.
I won't feed the trolls with my energy beyond this man. Yeah. This man is ill. Yeah, he is. He's also all encompassing in the way of craving attention. So when you said that's his drug, like that's real rap raw right there. Like he needs all of it to be his.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done a great thing in a long time.
Yeah.
So there also is a thing that you just gotta, we gotta be able to notice certain patterns. Like if you are able to, you know, someone's locked you out of your Twitter account or what, or any of your social media for months on end somehow, but right. when it's time for new music coming out, you got full access, baby, and right. it's all caps. You have been doing beef before an album drop since, I don't know, 50 Cent.
Right.
But I don't know what year that was. Don't think it matters.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. I'm tired.
Yeah. Over it.
And what he's doing has continued to be harmful and very much in the way of Elon, not on the level of Elon, but very much in that same way of like, how could little old me be a person who does anything to anyone else when really all I'm trying to do is what my life says? You know, like there's this, I gotta be everywhere and everybody has to know me. But honestly, like I'm just a person, guys. Like
right.
why can't you just leave me alone when I need to be left alone and then give me everything I've ever asked for when I want it? Like is Wild for the night. So while you queue up a tune, mm-hmm. I'll let y'all know we didn't get to some stories on Monday night show. Mm-hmm. Whoopsie doodles. So we are going to get to them today. So we're going to talk about the two Oregon DAs that are seeking to worsen the public defender problem, which is an incredibly big, huge, all the Trump adjectives crisis.
Bigly.
Portland Street Response expands services, but the city doesn't expand its budget. Cool. And we are just one step closer here to 100 days and 100 nights with one Trump 2.0. And he has, in fact, delivered the government that the Don't Tread on Me swore to fight against. And yeah. here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, look what we won. We did it.
So we'll go to some music and come back with one of those stories.
Yeah. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. P-Town, thank you for this photo of the eclipse. That is gorgeous. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Can we get the photos off of this at some point? Like,
yeah.
Because yeah. I can't see them in mine.
In the Slack.
Yeah, but would love to.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Anyway.
Yeah. We is back, though.
I'm going to give you this story real fast.
Yeah.
The DAs. Disaster DA duo that we've got going on right now. Fiancés, as many of you know, Oregon's public defense system is in crisis, with over 30,000 defendants denied legal representation and 40,000 cases lacking timely appointments for attorneys. This backlog is especially severe in Multnomah and Washington counties, where DAs Kevin Barton and Nathan Vasquez are proposing immediate changes to address the issue. Their short-term solutions include... Is everybody bracing themselves? Raising attorney caseload limits to let public defenders take on more cases.
Oh, cool.
Allowing judges to forcibly assign cases to private attorneys or public defenders from lower priority cases.
What?
Yes, Ambush, so you're a private attorney. And they want a judge to be able to say, you're going to have to take on a couple of free public defense cases, or they may not be free for the lawyers, mm-hmm. but that may the city pays, or you know.
Okay, but you got to.
So it's going to be obvious. You're definitely not getting your rate, right? Like right. you would not be getting whatever rate. Your defense. I mean, your hourly rate is. You're not getting that from the city, but you maybe have to do some public defense cases. Implementing a reverse auction where cases are assigned to the lowest bidding private attorneys. So to that point, private attorneys can say, this is how much it would cost if we were, did some of these cases. And whoever gives the lowest bid,
right,
we'll start looking at those folks, I guess. Public defenders obviously strongly oppose these proposals. They will lead to burnout, turnover, worsen the problem in the long run. It also does not actually solve the problem. Like, it's not a solution. It's,
yeah. And while you're trying to attack and address levels of productivity, what does it say about the quality of the work?
Right. There's a lot to be talked about, because just in any other industry, there are specialties within. Mm-hmm. And you being a defense attorney doesn't mean that you are well versed in what it means to be a public defender.
Right. 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 Right.
It doesn't mean that you are, like, if you're defending people that are able to pay you $500 an hour for your services.
Right.
They are inherently facing a different criminal justice system than those who do not have any money. It should not be that, right? But it is.
But it is. And we have to, keep that in the forefront.
In this, right now, the Oregon legislature is debating House Bill 2614, which could reshape public defense by rolling back the 2023 reforms that aim to set fair caseloads and pay for public defenders. They want to give the governor more control over Oregon Public Defense Commission, and then mandating public defense training for all trial attorneys. So we're going to say, if you are a trial attorney, you must be well-versed, we're not going to say well-versed. You must have training in public defense. Here's the thing. I don't hate that idea. It is not a solution.
No.
That's just like making a more well-rounded lawyer. That doesn't mean that lawyer then stays in public defense or stays in criminal defense. Trial attorney means a lot of different things.
Why aren't we having a conversation about the need to have so many public defenders and the increased criminalization of life?
Hello.
I think that could help with the caseloads.
Stop just trying to lock up poor people so that they stop being poor in our face?
Yeah.
Yeah. It might. It's a thought.
Stop being poor in our face is pretty funny.
It's a thought.
Hey, you, go be poor, not in my face.
I mean, if that's not what's happening. Yeah. If that's not what. You up. I don't know what else could be happening. If that's not the thought process, get your poor out of my face. It is from so-and-so who drives by on the freeway and sees a tent and is like, poor! The thing that gets me is that we would even be talking about rolling something back that hasn't been able to be implemented all the way. That is American politics.
Heck yes. Absolutely. Time and time again.
The show is, let's pretend you guys have action at changing some of these conditions. Psych. Next.
Yeah.
Because it's barely 2025, fam. What do you mean rolling back reforms from 2023? They ain't happened yet. Obviously, the caseloads having a cap obviously isn't enough. They're not getting paid enough money. If you are getting paid $80,000 as a public defender, but you are working 90 hours a week and you are still behind,
right,
and you are still being assigned cases, it's almost as if none of these arms of these systems have ever even had a moment of, could we manage this better?
Right.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how many, whiteboard meetings that they've, or strategy sessions Because for the amount of strategy and marketing planning and all of the things that you got to sit and do for a company that then is going to not do any of the things you just spent 2 days talking about.
Right.
Why are there so many middle management positions if no one manages any of these programs? At no point is there a look back to see, like, oh, did how many of the public defenders just quit? How could we make this line go faster? Like, there's just no...
Right, it's treating like fast food.
Right!
Yeah. How can we get these burgers out quicker?
You want the burgers out quicker, but you don't want the line to move? Like, it's that kind of... Huh?
Just solve it. You're serving raw meat now.
But it's quick.
Hey.
Imagine saying, I mean, because I got to be, I just want to dive just a little bit more into this and the fact that Kevin was saying, well, that's the Washington County DA. You know, lawyers have come to us and told us they want to do more. There are defense attorneys out there that are like, give me a case.
Really? Really?
I really want us as a people to stop using the one example or experience you had at a dinner party where everybody there was a little too faded to remember everything that happened.
Or saying things to impress other people in the room that they don't really mean.
Ooh, louder. To stop trying to base decisions and policy on that. Like, it... In what regard do you mean, hey, just take more cases, you guys. Take one for the team. We're not looking at how we charge people, but we do need more of you to defend them because we got to get these people in and out, buddy. We're not going to look at how harmful it is that we are putting people in jail for crimes that are not crimes.
We got to get these people in and out and in.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need them. We do need them back in, to be clear. That was
the small government people want you allow judges to assign cases to people that are private business owners, private attorneys. My little Nelson and Murdoch, you're just gonna make me start taking cases.
I literally was about to mention that. Like, shout out to the return of your boy. The latest episode.
I've honestly had such a great night last night.
But also, super shout out to them addressing petty crime and
actually, yeah, that's a worthy conversation in this moment.
Wow.
So he's talking about Daredevil for anybody who doesn't catch the reference of Nelson and Murdoch.
Yeah.
Latest episode.
So woke.
Way too woke. So many DEI hires over there. I just don't even know what to do, you know? They made an incredible point. There's a black man who was charged with petty larceny for stealing 4 boxes of caramel corn from a bodega. 4 boxes of caramel corn. Now, in most any other lawyer show, you're going to get like, the lawyer saying, oh, come on. You know, this is completely ridiculous. It's 4 boxes of caramel corn. What are we talking about here? What I appreciated about this episode of Daredevil is that they really did explain it far better. Mans was like, I want probation. And it seemed wild that he would just be like, go out there and get me my probation.
Right.
And that goes, and he does his darndest, right? Yeah. He gets him 10 days. In that back and forth between Matt and the prosecutor, you really start to understand, or they really illustrated, just how these are not people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To prosecutors. These are not, they are numbers on the board.
Yeah.
They are statistics to fuel their idea of what crime and justice means.
Yeah.
But they are certainly not people. They certainly don't have lives outside of the crime they committed. like, she's like, oh, he's got a rap sheet a mile long, and he's got this, and it's all this, and it's literally all crimes of capitalism.
Yeah.
All crime. I'm poor. And Mans basically explains, the last time that I got locked up, I missed my Social Security appointment, which means they stopped my benefits, which meant now I don't even have food. So get out of jail, and I'm eating out of the dumpster.
Man said, I want a little dessert. I want the, you know.
I've been eating out of the dumpster. I've been eating thrown out food. I've been, I no nutrition. Sometimes I just wanted a dessert. I just wanted something that tastes good. And I like caramel corn. So I wanted some. The way that that illustrated, one, just how much we look at, society looks at poor people as so undeserving of just even a moment of tasting something good.
How dare you buy steaks
with your snap?
With your snap. How dare you? How dare you?
What's always wild to me about that snap conversation, too, is that you over here pocket watching and clocking everybody's cart when you have no idea what that person is able to do with that steak,
right?
How long it could last their family. None of that matters.
You don't know how many people are home. You don't know nothing.
You just see big roast. You see big steak. And you're like, see, cheaters.
You don't deserve that.
You don't deserve that.
You didn't work for that.
This is not the point of this conversation, but the thing that kills me about the you don't deserve that is you also don't want people to be able to buy junk food with it, because then you're fat and you are a strain on our society.
Yep.
So you can't eat junk food, but you also can't eat healthy, because why would I pay for you eating healthy? The logic don't logic. The math don't math. If your idea is take from other people or make sure that they cannot eat, the math don't math. There's no actual equation that makes it okay for you to say, yeah, that person could starve in front of me.
Right.
Not one. So not only are these people committing crimes because of all symptoms of capitalism, they're just numbers to people.
Yep.
I remember asking one of my good friends, who is a lawyer, who is not a criminal lawyer, but I said, I don't get it. There are so many of these cases where we find out that the DA was hiding evidence, or the DA put up a cop that they knew was lying, or they, you know, like they're doing things in the case
that are criminal.
But take away that it's criminal. Like, should you still be prosecuting this case if what you have to do is manufacture one?
Right.
If you are manufacturing the case or any of the evidence, is it a case?
Sounds like a weak case. Let it go.
So, I mean, I have lived under the delusion for most of my life that if you went to school for a long time to do a thing, at the end of it, you cared about that thing.
Right.
And that you wanted to be good at that thing.
But they got quotas, man. Just like the cops. Got quotas.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess where I'm going is that, especially in today's day and age, you have a little more understanding what that job looks like, right? I don't expect the police to protect people because it's not their job. You might catch me saying it on accident, but I'm getting much better at not saying do your job. They're doing their job.
Right.
Their job is to protect property. Their job is to protect someone else's capital. Their job is to not protect people. And we have to continuously remind folks, the Supreme Court said they don't have to protect people. That's not part of the job.
Ain't it?
Maybe it wasn't the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court?
I think it was, though.
It was the Supreme Court. We got a text from Public Defender.
Come in. What we got?
There's PD here. You nailed it about prosecuting the poor. DAs choose to file cases. They could choose to file fewer BS cases. Also, shockingly, there are standards for PDs. Just bring a lawyer. Just bring a lawyer isn't enough.
Right. So that was the other thing I wanted to
lay out some qualifications. It's. I'm not going to read it all on the air, but it's good information for us to add. Okay. Thank you so much for that, Ted.
Thank you. This is. I. Yes. I wanted to get to that point, is that that's practicing a different law. You know what I mean? Like, it,
right.
And I don't, I'm sure I'm saying this the wrong way, but I just mean that there, like you said, there are qualifications. There's different experience that you must have or should have to be able to eat, to do that. So to just throw it like, oh, are you a lawyer? You a lawyer?
You do some lawyering?
Come on over here. I mean, just friends. The amount we learn millions of different new things every day. But right now, dealing with our elderly family, there are Social Security lawyers, Medicaid lawyers. There are like the expertise you have to have for so many of these things. You cannot just ask someone. You certainly can't ask a criminal defense attorney to tell me anything about an estate or probate,
right,
or, you know what right. I'm saying? Or like, what's going to happen to this asset if X, Y, or Z happens? Like that, you can't assume that that one lawyer knows all of those things and could then practice it. Huh?
Right.
It's just, I think what gets me so upset is that these are not even close to solutions. So when the people in charge at the top in their jobs are the ones saying, you know what we should do? And then give you a list of six things that are completely asinine. And then they have people that are able to say, well, they tried to fix it.
Yep. Yep.
They were working on it.
Yep. 100%.
Meanwhile, you will not give any actual solution, something that is long-term, something that will take time, you'll give it no time. You want me to be patient with you locking up poor people for literally no reason, but you can't stop putting too many cases on one person? Y'all can't figure out how to stop charging people with every single offense that could possibly be charged for in that moment? Depending on who the person is, obviously. Because we can learn how to get real creative with charging and dropping cases when we want to.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't see that being a viable case, you know? A lot of he said, she said. Encouraging private attorneys to take on more cases. Like, are you out of your mind? This doesn't address the problem there. It doesn't address what is happening to the people that are literally stuck in limbo because the system doesn't have enough mechanisms.
Right.
Does not address those folks at all. What do you mean? Tens of thousands of people in this itty bitty little place, right? We're talking about Multnomah County and Washington County, and as much as those are the biggest counties here, what's happening in the cities that, you know, have millions of people?
Yeah.
Centrally located.
Right.
We're very much in the upside down. Wow, there's a lot of texts. Yeah, it's beyond me.
Yeah.
I just, like, y'all don't know how to prioritize anything over there, the DAs?
I'm curious.
We've never had to take a step back and look at the process that you do right now and go, how could we actually make this efficient? How could we actually do something different? You are too busy looking at what somebody else should be doing because you think it means taking your job away if less people get arrested every day?
P-Town right. said, the justice complex industry, and seemingly all the industries are intersectional, from the hospital Hello. To prison, school to prison, prison to hospital, then a dash of deportations, just sprinkle in some, you know, like Salt Bay, sprinkle in some deportations.
Well, you know, gotta get this country pure again.
Well, hello. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
Some purity popping.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to hop into another music break.
All right. I'm going to take a couple of breathers.
All right.
And then, yeah.
Got a text during the break. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your passion, your ears, and your feedback. It's reciprocal, man.
Yeah.
Thank you ever so much.
Heck yeah.
You fiancés are great.
You faded the song out right at the part where I don't know why. Well, no, I do kind of know why I'm nostalgic about it. But there's that Chester French song. I don't remember the line he says right leading up to it, but he's like, she's just a girl that misses her dad.
Yeah.
And I think after it, he's like, and all the toys that she had, but it's not that. Like, I saw them in Denver and they did that song. And the way that he said, she's just a girl that misses her dad, it was like, I miss my dad.
You're so right. I miss my dad.
I do miss my dad.
I'm just a girl. Guys.
Guys, I'm just, and I'm here by myself.
No. You were just the girl that missed your dad.
I was just the girl that missed her dad.
Aww.
Yeah. And now every time I hear that song, I think like being at that concert.
Who opened for them? Who
Pharrell Williams.
Oh, I'm sorry. They opened for Pharrell?
Okay, so do you not remember that he found them and brought them to the world?
Yes.
It was a Common show. And then, am I getting this right? Yeah. And then Pharrell did two songs and then introduced.
What?
Chester French. Yeah. I'm doing this wrong. It wasn't a Common show. That was a different show. So now I have to think about who else was there.
Holy smokes, though.
Yeah. It was so dope.
Wow.
And then Pharrell was just walking around. And this was just I don't remember what the name of this venue was called, but I loved it. It was a Live Nation venue at the time.
Okay. Size-wise, what would it be comparative to here?
The Roseland-ish. Like, it wasn't...
Oh, wow.
But the entire layout, completely different.
Right. I'm just thinking capacity, like how many people were
there.
Yeah,
like the capacity...
Wow.
I said ish, that's though. Dope. It was not a full 1,800 like the Roseland or whatever. Right. I don't know.
But that's still not a lot of people.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's awesome.
This is the
And he was just walking around.
Sam was just walking around. And he's tiny. Tiny.
Stop it.
Yeah, it was really cool. Common was there. I don't know if I don't know if it was his show.
Right.
Because Lonnie was walking around.
Wow.
And that could have just been two different nights. Like you know, I went to a lot of shows by myself because
you're working.
Yeah, the promoters, we were buds. So it'd be like, oh, you want to go to that show? Yeah.
Oh, you want to go to the flash? Was it Flashing Lights?
Well, that was at Arvent. Like, that was, the graduation tour.
Graduation tour, yeah.
And that was that was at Pepsi Center.
There was another tour I'm thinking, though. So Lasers, what was the tour that had, was it Kanye, NERD, and Lupe?
Yeah, it was that.
Okay.
I thought that was
just
Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark tour. Oh God.
It was that. And yes, I did get to go and I sat next to one of the Walmart heirs. And they were awful. And Kanye stopped the show because they were sitting down. And that's why you don't sit on the floor, folks. Call me a snob.
Right.
I do not want to sit on the floor at any arena show ever again, and certainly not next to billionaire heirs who are way too high. And
I tell you one thing.
Annoying.
When I sat on the floor, shout out to Mo, my hookup, my homie. When I sat on the floor for that Pink show, mind blowed. One of my best concert experiences.
Pink with an exclamation mark?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, see, that's to me the kind of show you would need to be further back for.
Oh,
to see the whole thing,
man.
There's a
lot of swinging out. To this, a lot of trapeze work there. Whoa.
Yeah,
Pink. That woman is a stunt coordinator. There's a lot going on.
A lot.
Holy smokes! Stuck every landing.
None of this is news.
No
apologies, friends. Yeah. I did not mean to go into that, but. some of those stories made me want to go to concerts again, and I haven't in a long time. And I also am not going to because people are there. Yeah. And so I'll wait until they make bubbles that you can, like, sit in above the crowd.
All right. Jumping into this Portland Street Response.
Give us the goods.
Okay. Portland Street Response, the city's alternative crisis response program, is set to expand its services despite ongoing budget challenges. Mayor Keith Wilson's administration recently called PSR a success story and announced key changes, including allowing PSR workers to transport individuals to shelters and service centers. The program will also now be able to assist people inside private businesses and government buildings. These changes aim to improve crisis response and broaden PSR's impact, but they require months of preparation, including retrofitting vehicles and securing union approval. PSR's evolving role alongside law enforcement has raised concerns. While Wilson said the program will be treated like other emergency agencies, potentially responding to more calls with police and firefighters, advocates worry this could undermine its original mission as an independent, unarmed alternative to police. Friends of PSR, a community advocacy group, expressed frustration over a lack of communication from city officials and emphasized the need for the program to remain distinct from law enforcement activities. The program, launched in 2021 as a non-police crisis response model, struggled early on due to political opposition and administrative hurdles. Under former Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, PSR faced hiring freezes and funding restrictions, leading to staff departures and operational setbacks. A city audit later found that the program lacked clear leadership and support, prompting public outcry and renewed efforts to secure funding and oversight. Despite these challenges, PSR's workload continues to grow. Call volume reached record highs in 2023 and is projected to rise by 13% in 2025. The program has since hired 12 new staff members and transitioned out of the Fire Bureau into the Public Safety Service area, providing more stability. Officials are also exploring Medicaid reimbursement options to support long-term funding. Interim Program Manager April Roa outlined a vision for PSR's future, including stationing vehicles citywide for faster response times and eventually operating 24/7. Achieving this goal would require 68 full-time staff and a $10.6 million budget. City Councilor Eric Zimmerman praised recent program changes, stating they probably saved the program, though final budget decisions will be made in upcoming city budget workshops. While PSR's budget has decreased from $8.5 million to $7.4 million, the program has strong public backing. Advocates argue that expanding PSR is crucial for providing compassionate crisis response and reducing unnecessary police interventions. The program's future will depend on continued city support and how it navigates its evolving role within Portland's emergency response system. What you think about that, son?
I think, how in the world are we not spending the money on the things that matter the most?
For
that's
true.
The thing. That's what I think about that. I think it's incredible that we can't find the money to expand programs that we see working. Instead, we are able to continue to give money to programs we know don't.
Right.
Like, we don't need a study. We don't need more studies to find out that the police are not helpful in most of the situations they are called to.
Right.
We don't need more studies to figure out that most of our budget goes to the wrong thing. The plural things. But very specifically, the police budget is one of our biggest expenses. And I'm super happy that they're around for people like Jesse Burke to call when they want to get food pantries shut down.
Woo! More on that on our Monday show.
I'm super happy that they're, you know, not experiencing a shortage when they need to be able to move homeless people from where they are standing on the street. Just can't seem to figure out where any of those sex trafficking rings are or any of those you know, crime syndicates that live in Lake Oswego can't seem to figure out where we should really be putting our time. The gaslighting that is Portland Street Response. And here's what I mean by that. The city continues to pull the thread like, yes, we will, because we said we would, and we have to. I don't know. Maybe cut the thread. We need it. Like, at some point, create the lane. We are dealing with a $40 million deficit for schools. There is so much a waste, fraud, and abuse that is done at the provider level. I'm not going to get over this. I will continue to say it. When you have a budget of multi-million dollars for the PR, for the division who is supposed to make everybody feel good about the things you're doing. When you have multi-million dollars a year to spend on spin and not students, you are doing it wrong, and you can find the money somewhere. The money's there.
Right there. It's right there, guys.
The money's there before you even tax the rich. Imagine what we would get if we had competent people understanding what government could and should do. Including the entities like police. Portland Street Response is needed.
Very much so. Very much so.
We as a city decided that's what we want. And they never funded it right.
Nope.
They did every single thing they could to make sure that it would not happen the way that it's supposed to happen. The way that it was laid out. This wasn't like they were flying by the seat of their pants. They had a plan.
And they underfunded it. On set.
From the beginning. And from the beginning, they also said, this doesn't work.
Right. Name one thing that works when it's underfunded. Name a thing, Angela.
Oh,
give me it.
Name a thing. We cannot expect to give no time for and no money and no funding to no people to the programs that we know change the material conditions. We cannot continue to say there's no time to try that thing, but there's plenty of time to do the same thing we've been doing, but just wrapped in a different book cover. We as a city asked for this. We voted for it. We want it. We must hold the city leadership accountable to give us what we want.
Every single time. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in New Harlem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Every single time. It's not enough to vote and get whatever measure or bill or program in place.
You have to find out if they did the thing.
Right. Having someone just agree, like imagine you hire a general contractor to come in and you know, add an addition to your home.
Yeah.
Additional room to your home. And they're like, all right, cool. Gonna do it. Thanks. Bam. Paid. All right. Additional room.
And then
add it.
Don't.
And they just walk away. Do you feel good about that? Like, you haven't checked to see whether the room, but you've hired someone.
I feel like I would flip the table.
Contracts are signed.
And the house.
And hey, you know, I'm going to just, you know.
I mean, you're on my book.
Yeah.
I'll get to you. Is that what you're saying? That they'll just keep kicking that can down the road and then I never get my room?
Yeah. But it was enough for you to order the room, you know?
I want to, this text is incredibly important.
Okay.
P-Town said, I was in the purple circle when Prince came to town.
Whoa. Where's the purple circle?
On the floor.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you that I set up that concert.
Nice.
The last time he was here.
Nice.
It was me.
Yeah. I set up that concert.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Man.
Look how the things intersect.
Look at that. Well, guys and gals.
And pals
and fiancés, thank you so much. Thank you so much for staying engaged with us, kicking it with us.
Very much so. And let me just say that this text is incredibly important. I can do, with no funding, I can be a good human.
Whoa.
And that's real. No one has to pay you to be that. No one has to pay you for you to care about others. No one has to pay you to make sure that.
Thank you, P-Town.
Yeah.
Thank you, P-Town, for the reminder. The model was taken from a working model in Eugene called Cahoots. So they knew it worked and how it works.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% facts.
Yes.
So you knew how it worked and you knew how to make it not work.
Yep.
And that's what you did.
Yep.
You know what?
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. This is My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
Wait, before you do the closing, I just want to say two things. One, it's Thursday, which means Equitable Giving Circle's Free Food Pantry for Black and Brown Folks is today. And two, they are currently looking for a new space to be able to continue to do this every Thursday.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
They will only be in the space they're in until May, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it's May.
And so if you out there have commercial space or a community area, hit up, or access to.
Yes.
Equitable Giving Circle is able to give over 400 families some sort of stability.
Weekly.
That do not have a ton of stability. They need stability. We need to make sure that they are able to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to do a big pitch. I just want to say that, community, baby, let's put it together.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Also brought to you by our podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
Thank you guys so much for any texts, and apologies for any texts we didn't get to read out. But Kyle will make sure they're all in the episode description. Playlist is updated.
Lots of music today.
Yeah, I had a song that I was going to play for the end. I'm going to switch it now. I have to update my playlist, but don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30
on the YouTube.
On the YouTubes.
No war but class war. Bye.